Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a great handful of my oldest benzo friends, and Gidget is one of them. And today we're going to be interviewing her, and I've known her now for over 20 years. She was a moderator in my original benzo support group. She was a moderator on Benzo Island for a few years. She has become a certified homeopath. She is certified in the Tong Red method, and she's currently working with a medical doctor helping to interpret genetics. She is the owner of the Facebook support group Healing from Pharmaceutical Drugs. Not only that, she's become an outstanding natural cook, and those of us that are friends with her on Facebook wish that there was a button to order up a portion of her delicious meals and healthy treats. I think you'll really enjoy this interview and learn a lot from what she has to say. And don't forget to stay tuned after the show to listen to our post show. Thank you. Welcome to the podcast, Gidget. I am very excited to have you here today to tell us your story. Can you tell us what led you to be prescribed Xanax in the first place?
Sure, Geraldine. It's good to hear from you. My father had passed away, and I was having a lot of issues. I was working in law at the time, and I had just remarried, and I had a lot on my plate, and went to the doctor, and boom, Xanax.
And at no point, because you're in Ohio, no point, no informed consent, no warning you, like this is short term. Did he say anything? Because this was under stress after the death of a loved one.
No warnings at all. Nothing like that. It was just that, well, you probably have a chemical imbalance in your brain, and that's why you're having such a hard time sleeping and coping with this tragedy.
Yeah, it's and then how long were you on the Xanax? And at what point did you notice your health going down? Because I think a lot of us have that, what's that aha light bulb moment?
Well, I was on 5 years, and it progressively got worse with me. I was still working, and I was working in at the courthouse, actually doing real estate and title work, and I would go to different counties and get lost. And my mind started to go. And then I would say, about 3 years into it, my health really started to suffer. I was getting sick. I was in fear. I was having anxiety, not sleeping, just a whole scroll of symptoms. And I had to quit work. I couldn't work anymore. I was just totally a mess. I was afraid to go out of the house. I developed agoraphobia. And I kept going to that one doctor, and he kept saying, well, this is your quote unquote mental illness, and you're very depressed, and you this and that. And he wanted to do electric shock on me.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, and somehow that kind of like, I was so beaten down by the drugging. I lost all my critical thinking. My judgment was in the toilet. I couldn't even think correctly. And my daughter had come over, and I told her, and she was like, Mom, you were never like this before you were prescribed these drugs. It's the drugs. And, that was back in 1997, maybe 96. I don't remember, somewhere around there. And right. We got on the internet, and that's when I found you and some other people. And, from then on.
Yeah, it's crazy. So years ago was we're all trying to learn how to get better. What steps did you take? What in your body needed to be healed to get better?
Well, I didn't know anything back then. We didn't have any information, no holistic information at all. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I did a taper off the drugs, but of course it was really not a taper. It was basically cold turkey.
Right. There was no information for us years ago. Nothing.
No, but I did get off of it. And I was prescribed a fluoroquinolone antibiotic, Avalox. I actually was doing better when I got off the drug. Even though I tapered too quickly, I was actually doing better. My brain was coming back. I was remembering now. I just my health was returning, and I was really optimistic, but I came down with a bad sinus infection. I went to the doctor, and they prescribed me Avalox, which is a fluoroquinolone. And of course it damaged my liver. One dose.
I remember that. I remember the one dose.
Yeah. Anaphylactic shock, and it damaged my liver. So then the whole thing just fell apart. I was a I was in bed for 3 years. And slowly I started, you know, I'm a researcher, and I kept trying different things. Basically, I studied genetics, and my methylation system, my genetics and my methylation system are such that I don't make a lot of B12 and all that. So I think that was part of it. I worked on that. I worked on methylation. I had to work on my liver and especially my gut.
Yeah. We both had DNA tests done, and you understand it because now you're almost an expert with the genetics. And weren't we almost identical why we don't metabolize these drugs?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about the liver. All about the liver for metabolizing. I mean, different benzos are metabolized by different pathways. And the pathway that metabolizes Xanax, of course, homozygous polymorphism in, which, you know, that means I don't metabolize well at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it pretty much.
So because you're so well-versed now in genetics, would you suggest that, and where would you suggest people go to get a genetic testing? So would that be prior to anybody? Well, let me just go back this up. I remember years ago, as we were doing a lot internationally, I think it was Millie Keeve over in the UK that runs april.org.uk said, soon you're going to see that all patients will be taking a DNA test to see who can metabolize what, which here it is like 20 years later and it hasn't happened yet. So what would you recommend for people? Number one, before they take a drug, but if they're sick after taking a drug, what would you recommend? Would you say definitely get the genetic testing?
Well, I would, because it doesn't diagnose anything. And, you know, genetics can be influenced by so many different factors. But as far as the benzos goes, like if you're on Valium, say, and you've got polymorphisms in that pathway, then that might tell you, hey, maybe I'll do better on another benzo trying to get off.
Right.
You know, other than that, for me, it was invaluable because it's like a roadmap. I mean, I know what drugs I can metabolize and what I can't. Like, for instance, I cannot metabolize any type of opiate. If I look at an opiate, you know, I'm an addict immediately. And Same with beta blockers. And of course, that was one of the things that they prescribed me when I was sick on the drugs, you know, beta blockers. Mm-hmm. I don't metabolize those well. And they just keep making you sicker and sicker and sicker.
Right. And nobody's mentioning it to any one of us that, you know, you're getting sicker from the drugs. It's always you. You're the problem.
I feel that in any instance, in any drug, that they should do the test to see if you can metabolize it. I mean, drugs are metabolized by different pathways. And, you know, if you're polymorphismed in it, like the CYP2D6 is the pathway in the liver that metabolizes most antidepressants. So if you're jacked up there, and you're on them, well, you know, here you go shooting up a school. That's just the way it goes.
Right, right.
But yeah, well, they can do that. I mean, how $200 and for the test is not anything
we've lost. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right. I left my job. You left your job. The other thing for us, we had younger kids at home while we're struggling, you know, back then. My son, one of your daughters, the same age. And back then, here we were both pretty sick. And our kids are at that age where they have to start driving. So for me, it was terror, pure terror. I remember it was terror for you, but it was also freedom for me, because once Garrett could drive and I had to just be the adult in the car, even though I felt like the child, then we could get out a little bit more, you know, and I just, you know, dependent, hanging on to him if we had to go out somewhere. So how was that for you? I mean, that was like a step of freedom.
Well, it was, but it was still terror because just being outside was, oh my gosh, you know, all the what ifs, and I just couldn't wait to get back home. But, you know, you're compelled to try to be a good parent.
You know,
you have all those things that they need. My daughter was a dancer and she wanted me to attend her recitals and all that. And how can you not do that? And it was really, really, really tough.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, I was so agoraphobic. I mean, when they could get me out in the car or when he was learning to drive, I didn't go to anything. Although now as they got older, I wanted to go to everything, you know, when I got better, like when moms aren't going to stuff, you know, you show up at things.
Right.
So much, you're robbed of so much. So like me, so when you left work, so there goes your salary. But now as we're older, well, where's my retirement? You know, it affects us in so many ways. And this is all, I mean, they just, these doctors, I hope they learn from us. That's, you know, the best thing I can say.
Yeah. The thing that really, the overwhelming thing that really happened to me from it was the fear. There was constant, incessant 24/7 fear. I mean, my husband would try to go to work in the morning and I would be hanging on his leg, please don't leave me, because I was certain that that was the day I was going to die. Yeah. And I didn't want to die alone. I was so afraid of death. I was afraid of everything.
Yeah, that mine was the same thing. It was, I just didn't want to die alone, you know, and there were times when I was getting better and Joe could leave a little bit. But I remember one time I had broken out with a rash. And so I took away, a Benadryl, one Benadryl. That's all I took. And all the fears came back. And so he would leave in the morning and he would be home and I would say to Garrett, take the car, pretend like you're going to school. I'll call you out. As soon as you see Dad gone, come right back. I can't be alone. And we did that for a week till the fear went away again.
Oh, I know. Just the things that we went through, it was insane. Right.
Yeah. But it's real. That's what we want people to know. These are drug-induced, very real fears that I couldn't bring it on today.
I was never like that. I was very outgoing. I'm a musician, you know, all of that. And you know, to be living like that. And you start to doubt yourself, even though you're starting to educate and you know that it's the drugs, but it's so intense and the fear is so overwhelming. You really start to think, well, maybe it is me. Maybe I do have something wrong.
Right. But yeah, you try with it. Yeah. But I would look at who I was and I'm like, I used to be the most carefree person going. How did this happen to me?
I know.
All right. So I'm glad you mentioned the antibiotic thing, because that is a huge thing. We warn people. It's even in the ASH manual. Heather, you know, when Heather and Ash and I were talking one time, we added that to the front of it to be very cautious with the fluoroquinolone antibiotics.
Absolutely. I had a liver biopsy and it caused liver fibrosis, which is the step before cirrhosis.
Jeez, you're so, I remember how horrible that was for you.
Well, I was in my 40s, I think, right, Geraldine? I can't remember, but yeah.
It's been a while that we've been, we're now the old ones in the groups, you know,
right.
But, you know, something that, you know, I mentioned to you just recently was that you and I have seen some of the worst people get better. The people that you think aren't going to get better, but there are those that are out there that are still sick years out. What would you say to them? Because, you know, people tend to say everybody gets better. Well, I didn't get better for a long time. You didn't get better for a long time. I had to work on my body, my gut, my liver. You had to work on yours. So what would you say to them?
Well, again, we're all different, but we're tied together in a similar fashion. I do think that nutrition is important. I think we got to look at, hey, what am I putting in my body? You know, supplements. What am I taking there? What am I not taking? What are my genetics? That's important, I think. There's just, you know, many things that you got to look at. You got to look at liver healing. You got to look at gut healing, kidney. I think a lot too, that it's been the hypothalamus function has been impaired. And, you know, as a homeopath, I do a lot of healing in that area. I've done a lot of healing for my hypothalamus and it's really, really helped. You know, and then it opens because of the gut health, it destroys our gut and it leaves us open to all kind of viral infections, bacterial infections, you know, on and on and on. And I had to do I had to get rid of candida. I can't even tell you the things that I had to do, but it was all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I do slip up on my diet occasionally. You, on the other hand, I see the things that you're making and I just, you know, I just wish I could order it up online, you know.
I'm insane. I was so ill that I was bound and determined that I was going to get better come hell or high water, excuse my language. So one of the areas that I did have control in was being able to cook and figure out, hey, what is going to help my body? And that really was one thing that I'm so glad I did.
Right, right. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about is, you know, how did this affect your family? Because we have a lot of people online. You have a great group online where families don't believe them, or they shun them, make fun of them. You know, they're isolated. How did it affect your family? And what would you suggest to somebody's family member that's listening today?
Well, oh my gosh, I had a hard time. My husband was great. You know, just he was wonderful. But my younger daughter, oh, we went round and around. She just, you know, she thought I was making things up. And my sisters, I have two sisters and my mother, they were terrible to me, just terrible. They didn't, you know, they thought I was crazy. Even when I got better, they would come to my home and they would, oh, look, she's even got organic dish soap. She just thinks, you know, she's all that. And it was very, very hard to not be validated,
right,
from them. But, you know, my youngest daughter actually said that I just traumatized her so badly. You know, she wouldn't let me see my grandkids for a year.
Right.
And that was hard on me. You know, that was really tough. We've kind of resolved it now. But, you know, this is not something that I'm just making up in my head. You know, I had this illness that happened to me. It was induced by the doctors. It was iatrogenic every step of the way. But
absolutely,
most people don't understand that. They cannot understand that a doctor or a medical system would allow that to happen. But yet it happens every day. And not just with benzos, but many, many other drugs.
You're right. Right. And all over the world, as you know, we've been dealing with this now all over the world. So that kind of leads me to one of my questions. Over the 20 plus years that we've been around doing this, there's so much more information today than you and I had in the beginning.
Right.
And, you know, you've got your Facebook group. Do you see more people joining constantly, or do you find that some doctors are more understanding nowadays, you know, or is there still a huge lack of education from the medical profession?
I think it's a total lack of education. I think everything's pretty much, you know, driven by big pharma, and they don't want that education out there.
Right. I'll tell you, I mean, when we testified in at the Massachusetts State House, you saw these doctors come in and they talked for 20 minutes about their degrees, denying that this is a problem. But I got to say, one of the doctors, I kind of caught that he had a kind heart from a comment that he made to me. And I actually now send people to him that need to be prescribed a benzodiazepine when a doctor's going to cut them off. And I have to say, he recently told one of the people that I sent in there, he goes, "We got it all wrong. We're learning. We're learning." Yeah. I'm thinking, wow, you know, so maybe there's an impact.
I work with a holistic MD who would, you know, has got the same mindset. And there are some out there. There really are. But, you're rolling the dice.
Exactly. And everybody's saying, "Do you have a doctor, a benzo expert?" I said, "They're really... isn't. It's everybody's individual. And, you know, there's no one way to taper. There's different ways. You got to go at your own pace. I mean, do I wish there were experts that would at least calm them down? But they are few and far between, you know?
Right, right. Especially, you know, and the, you know, again, I hate to keep harping on the genetics, but if they knew that, that would be a big step in helping to taper.
Right. Well, you know, my new feeling is, well, it's not really new. Every psychiatrist should be doing genetic testing, should be a functional medicine doctor. So you know exactly what that individual's genetic makeup is and then how to help them heal.
Oh, I know. The psychiatrists, though, they are. I remember one time when I was really sick on the drugs and I went to a psychiatrist and I started telling him, you know, I don't understand it. I'm just not sleeping. And these are the drugs I'm on. And, you know, I'm trying to practice good sleep hygiene. And he was saying stuff to me about bipolar and depression and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't really think I'm any of those. I'm just having trouble sleeping. And he goes, are you arguing with me? And I said, no. He goes, well, you know, the fact that you're arguing with me tells me that you are bipolar. Oh my God. And that, you know, that just kind of like sent a chill down my spine, because, you know, just that authority that they think that they have.
Right. Wow. So, you know, that kind of leads me back to your prescribing doctor. So I remember a time when you were off of Xanax, you were doing this on your own. He's just thinking he's just drugging you into oblivion, and you were getting better and you went back to the doctor and he had no idea that you were tapering. And he said how thrilled he was that Xanax had rewired your brain, and you told him that you were off and that he was shocked, and you told him you were going to sue him.
Yeah.
Whatever transpired after that?
Well, I settled the case with him. I did settle, but yeah, he was an arrogant so-and-so, and he would not, you know, even though I took the Ashton manual in back then, and, you know, everything that I got my hands on, I would give to him, and I would say, I'm sure it's these drugs. I was never like this prior. And he would just poo-poo me, right? He wouldn't help me taper. In fact, wanted to put me on more drugs, which I, you know, refused. And I went back in and I said, I'm feeling a lot better. And I was looking better. When I was on the drugs, my skin turned totally gray. I mean, my eyes went really dull. I lost a lot of hair. I weighed 87 pounds.
Wow. Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, the Xanax, that really rewired your brain. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, dude. I'm off of it.
Yeah, I mean, really, it is, it's crazy. I and again, I hope if doctors listen to these, that they're learning from us, you know, listen to your patients, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know to this day, you stay on top of your health. So, I mean, you don't cheat at all. Me, unfortunately, you know, every now and then I'm like, no, I always feel better when I'm eating really clean, but you know, I'm not perfect. I always admit that. I was meticulous for years.
Right.
But you, do you stay perfect?
Well, no. I mean, I go out, we travel, you know, we're going out to Denver soon, and we eat out at restaurants, and I'm just, you know, I just try to make good choices when I'm out. I don't do any processed food though. I won't go there. It's just too many chemicals, and my body's already had a chemical assault. And my body knows it and doesn't like it. So, you know, and I'm a big believer that, you know, hey, life is short. Let's eat dessert. So
right.
I look for ways to make healthy and nutritious desserts.
And they are beautiful. They're gorgeous. I mean, really, I'm telling you, I drool when I see the pictures of them, you know?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of cooking for people around here, and it's, I mean, I could really set up my own business if I wanted to go that route.
Yeah, but I'm sure you could. And believe me, I'd say start shipping it to Boston. Yeah, they are a lot of work. So if you could advise somebody today who was considering coming off of their benzodiazepine, what would you tell them?
Well, I tell them to look at their whole drug picture. You know, if it's just, usually it's not just a benzo, but if it is, just, you know, look at your genetics, get your genetic test, see what drug you're on, and, you know, if you're metabolizing it well, and then maybe do a switch or not, and just do a slow taper. I'm not a big believer in these ultra slow, ridiculous years taper. I just think that's the drugs are toxic, and that just is setting your body up for a slow burn of toxicity.
Yeah. Interesting you're saying that, because somebody who was very sick and he went to a doctor that his specialty was detoxification, the doctor told him, you're not going to taper yet. We're going to get you to that point. And the doctor doing IV therapies and had him on certain powders and supplements. Uh-huh. And he got very, very sick and he wanted to quit. And the doctor said, well, then quit. And he said, no, I'm going to continue. And he continued. And then he just woke up one day and he felt fantastic. Doctor said, now you're ready to taper. Gave him a list, a schedule of how to taper. And it was going to be, I forget how long, but this guy was off in 1 month. That's how strong this doctor got his body first. So I'm a big believer. I wouldn't even start to taper till I got up my body working right first, because I see a huge difference.
I agree with you, Geraldine. The, you know, changing the nutrition, and just like for me, I'm a homeopath. So I would think, oh, okay, first thing I would add in is Nux Vomica, you know, because that helps get the body, it kind of detoxes you, but it also builds you up. So there's many, many things that you can do.
Right.
I'm studying the periodic table right now and how it applies to homeopathy. And I'll tell you what, it's pretty amazing. It's
Well, even when Dr. Pert, it was, you and I both knew Dr. Pert very well. And when we had victims of tranquilizers, they had a newsletter. And in the victims of tranquilizer newsletter, which I think we've got copies of it somewhere online, it might be on benzosupport.org. And in one of their newsletters, it had different homeopathic remedies to use for certain symptoms.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because homeopathy is a lot bigger in Europe than it is here. You and I both use homeopathy. And I mean, look at, you've learned a lot. In fact, one of the things I forgot to talk about was the Tong Ren therapy.
Right.
You're now, you know, you're certified in Tong Ren method. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I actually met him because he's here in Massachusetts, and my husband and I, when he first got diagnosed with cancer, we went to one of, his, group meetings, and he came over to my husband and he said, this is where something was coming from. And I mean, that was, he didn't know what Joe had or anything. It was right where the Merkel was. It was very interesting.
Yeah. He's an amazing guy. I've talked with him at length. He's come to Ohio a few times. He utilizes quantum physics and he applies it to the, acupuncture points of the body, the acupuncture meridian. So like when he first met me, I've got like this mole on my clavicle and he pointed at that and he goes, you have a blockage in your kidney 29. And it was like, wow, you know, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, he does things where he opens those pathways, and it's an amazing, it's an energy related modality. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, how could that help? Blah, 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 blah. But it's amazing. It really is. And you can do it long distance. And he takes this magnetic hammer, and it's almost, it's so funny that it's almost like when I first heard of it, I thought this is voodoo. And cause he's hitting this hammer on this plastic doll.
On the doll, yeah. I have them here. I bought them that day and then we never went back, but my husband didn't want
all the acupuncture meridians all over it. So when you tap on those, and you can even do it remotely, like I was saying, and your intention, it's all about intention. Mm-hmm. And it opens up those pathways and helps for healing. I've seen some remarkable things happen with it. Remarkable.
If anybody wanted to look that up, it's you know, because you can even call in from wherever you are. It's Tong, T-O-N-G, Ren, R-E-N, Station, station.com. And you can go in, you can even watch it live.
Yeah, he actually gives free sessions, I think, at some point. I would highly recommend it because, again, when you do the energy-related things, if you're sick on the drugs or off of the drugs and sick, you're bypassing all those biochemical processes that you know are all messed up from the drugs. So it took me a while to learn that. You know, I used to think homeopathy was a load of crap. You know, like cures like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't believe in it and I was afraid of it. So but now, you know, I'm a homeopath and it's helped me so much. I just can't even believe it. And, you know, so, I think it would help people that are sick on the drugs.
Right. So through your illness, you have become a homeopath. You're certified in Tong Ren. You're a phenomenal natural baker. I mean, you're very well known internationally for your support group. I mean, I have to look at the blessings that come out of this, you know, from the harm that we were given, what we've lost in so many ways, emotionally, financially, spiritually, you know, even with family members, we do come out on the other side, you know?
Oh, I agree, and it hasn't been easy. I know that at my worst, okay, my health was totally gone. We had 5 cents in our checking account. You know, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. But you know, there was something in me always, Geraldine, that I was just not going to lay down and be a victim.
I kind of almost the same way. It was like I wasn't going to let what this doctor did to me take any more away. It's almost like you're just so determined to live and thrive. I mean, and when you think it's, I know I used to think I was a weak person. I think a lot of us, when we're sick, we think we're weak. And when you get out on the other side, you realize just how strong you are.
Yeah, even when I was sick, I would just visualize mentally what would I do when I if I had my health, you know, and that kind of was like it drove me. It drove me. And then just the disdain that I had for what was going on medically, that also drove me. I thought, no, I'm not going to sit here and let them take my life twice.
No, I know. So I'm going to ask this before we end it. I, for me, do I go to doctors? Really, never. But for my family's sake, because they didn't want me to, be totally against. I go yearly for my yearly checkup. I want to, and it's good to have something to compare to. Do you ever go to the doctor?
Well, I work with a holistic MD,
Oh
so.
yeah, so yeah, you're lucky. Then there you go. This and I had a great functional medicine doctor that we had them here locally, and then now they're gone. So I would have continued to go there if I needed anything. But yeah, you're very fortunate to have a
I mean,
holistic
I
MD.
still go, and if I would have a reason to go to the ER, yeah, I'd go to the ER, you know, because they do have great diagnostics. They do. They really do. But for most everything else, you know, I'd give it a
We want people to be smart. If you have a symptom, get it checked out. Don't be foolish. Is everything benzo related? No, because we've had some that did wind up in an ER and they had an issue. In fact, I don't know if you remember the guy years ago. He was brought to the ER and I think a psychiatrist was about to admit him. When they found out his B12 was so low, he had to have it by intravenous. I mean, they said he would have died.
That's how I
And
was, Geraldine. Mine was at 85. That's pretty darn low. You know, and if they don't look at that though, that's another thing. They will not look at things like vitamins and minerals, and they can really do a number on you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have some that they might, with their thyroids, might not be off, but by body temperature it is. And that's something Shirley Trickett had mentioned when she redid her book. And it was, if you're not getting better, look at your thyroid, look at Lyme, borrelia, there are things you can look at. So,
Exactly. Exactly. There's always hope. I was very bad. I really thought I was going to die. I'd made out my will and everything. I mean, to look at me, you would have thought I had terminal cancer. It was so bad. And it took me a while, but boy, I did it. I mean, I'm
You
not
did.
perfect. I'm in, you know, my late 60s now, but you know, I'm a lot better than some people, I'll tell you
That's
that.
right. I know. So, any last words that you'd like to say to anybody
Well,
listening?
just never give up hope. There's always a way.
Well, that you couldn't have said it better. There is always a way, and I kept trying and trying myself. So you and I both had the issue where we were helping people, and they were getting better before us. But I had to find what worked for me, and it was the gut and the liver. And I also had candida. That was huge for me with the leaky gut and candida. And my liver for the rest of my life, I have to stay on top of it. So genetically, I wasn't born with everything, to detoxify. So,
Same here, same
yep.
here.
All right. So I want to thank you so much, Gidja, for being on the show. I've been dying to have you on, and I think a lot of people are going to benefit from listening to this.
I hope so.
All right. Talk to you later.
All
Bye.
right.
All right, Garrett, we just finished the podcast with Gidget, and how did you think that went?
I thought I went, well. I think now we've done, a few interviews like Gidget kind of in a row, and there's a reason why that we're interviewing people that are, they just have their story to tell. They're not necessarily experts in a field or anything like that, but they're experts at their own experience. And I think when we first talked about doing the podcast, we talked about trying to create a sense of community. And part of creating community is being able to identify with people going through the same thing as you. So, you know, the more stories that we have, the more hopefully our listeners can identify with one of these people and see that they could be like them and that they can come out on the other side.
Right. And, you know, she and I had teenagers, you know, young kids at the time. And, you know, we had each other to go through that struggle with. That's part of that whole talking to somebody else and knowing you can make it through. You know, I mean, it was traumatic having teens, especially back then. But she has become an expert.
It sounds like she probably had a little bit of a tougher time. Not that I know, like, that story, because she just touched on it quickly, but it sounds like she had a tough time with her teenage daughter, and I don't think we ever had that. It was...
It's a little different. You know, again, but in the end, though, it's her daughter that recognizes it's the drugs that are harming her, you know? So, but with you kids, I think, before I even started to come off, because, you know, you guys were mad at me at how I was acting. And then once I learned it was the drug, we kind of sat down, had that talk. Still, there wasn't a lot of information back then, but we had that talk. But she has become an expert in homeopathy and Tong Ren and being able to interpret genetics now. So as a result of, you know, pharmaceutical harm, she has become an expert. And again, an amazing cook. Yeah. That's what I want people to take away. She and I were amongst the group that took a long time to heal. So when you think, you know, and then she was harmed again by another drug.
What's a long time?
So for her, she's telling you that she, at a couple of years, she's feeling better, but then she takes one fluoroquinolone, one Avalox, and it harms her again for 3 years. And then she has to repair that again. And so right around the same time as me, you know, it's 5 years before I start working with a functional medicine doctor and my health turns around. She and I are both watching people that we're helping on the support group getting better before us. Because, again, we're telling them, you know, they've got a taper. She didn't have a good taper. Neither did I. There was no information.
Yeah. So I think from that point, it's probably worth mentioning that we're not saying that that's the way that you get off is through homeopathy or anything like that, right? We're just saying that's...
Those are modalities that some are using. No, everybody has their own story, how they're going to do it. But I think she and I both agree, build your body up first. You don't just start tapering from a sick body. It's a big mistake. If I go back and do it again, and you know what? The proof is, years ago, before I even knew the drugs were harming me, and a friend sent me to a holistic nutritionist, and I changed my diet. I took the supplements he said. I was on two drugs at the time, and I'm just coming off of them. There's no taper. I'm just coming off and I'm not even getting sick. My body was so strong. And the doctor that I was seeing saw that I was losing the drug weight. And she actually says, you know, stop going to him. Diet and nutrition have nothing to do with health. You have to take Ativan for the rest of your life. This is the harm that some of these doctors are doing. I mean, I was actually going back to work part time. And that all went south when she said you could eat whatever you want again. And I sold my soul for sugar.
So I think that's probably one of the more amazing things when we interview people. It's that diet, nutrition almost never get brought up.
No.
When you're talking to a doctor, it's not a part of their thinking.
Oh, they poo-poo it.
And you would think it's almost intuitive that, you know, if you're a healthier person, you're going to be healthier like in everything.
Right.
So these are like the building blocks of getting better and... You're never going to get that out of your doctor right now.
Right, right. So I think it was a great interview. I think anybody who thinks they're not going to get better or that they're harmed by another drug, again, you absolutely can turn it around. It's going to take some work and determination, but you can absolutely get better.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Garrett, again, thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.